This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into First Take, folks. We are live from the Rouse's Market, 3711 Power Boulevard. Brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. You can grab that here at the Rouse's or anything else you need for your game day holiday needs as well. Plenty of Halloween candy in stock for folks. And they even get you ready for the Taylor Swift concert. We've got some Funfetti cupcakes and regular cake just standing by here for Taylor Swift celebration cakes. Her last leg of the New Orleans tour comes to an end today. And I'm sure, man, oh, man, downtown's just been buzzing with Tay-Tay, not just Saints and Pelican stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get down there pretty soon, so we'll see how that works out. I'm expecting it to be packed, but it's been a fun weekend.
At least not too early, at least.
No, not necessarily. I think the concert's tonight, too. Like, it's another night concert, even though it's a Sunday.
Right.
So
that helps.
Yes, it should help. But
We get off the air after the obviously the Ciroc Point after, well, the concert will still be going on, so we'll be inundated by traffic when we're trying to leave the city either.
So, Steve, it's 12:15 or 12:10 at this point.
Right.
We have a score update in one of the NFC South games.
Already?
I got a notification from Fantasy. I can't connect to ESPN, which is crazy, but the Falcons are up 7-0. Kyle Pitts scores a touchdown.
Kyle Pitts!
Within the first 2 minutes against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, and the Falcons take an early 7-0 lead in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, seeing here that Pitts has one reception, 36 yards in that touchdown. Cousins, 2 of 3, 42 yards, and a touchdown pass for him. And like you said, the Atlanta Falcons now up 7-0 over Tampa Bay as that game got underway. It's kind of weird not having this noon, not having a noon start for the Saints right now. We've been
We're either so used to it, or
the night game.
Exactly. These afternoon games are definitely strange.
Also going in action right now, kicking off, we got Jets, Patriots. Eagles at Bengals, Packers at Jaguars, Tennessee Titans at Detroit Lions.
Lions taking a 7-0 lead there.
Right. The Arizona Cardinals at Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa back from Miami, wishing him well. Kind of weird in that matchup. I don't know if you saw that Tua does not want to wear the Guardian cap.
So I saw a really funny post. It was just like, Tua, wear the Guardian cap. And he had like a Cleveland Guardians hat, like a ball cap. Like,
right, exactly.
But they're at 3rd and goal at 1, so they're about to score as well.
Looking also, the Ravens taking on the Browns in Cleveland. And the Colts taking on the Houston Texans on the road. And you were just talking about the Dolphins being down at the goal line there. They have punched it in for the score. Raheem Mostert, one-yard touchdown. Sorry, A-chan owners out there in fantasy football.
Yeah, that's tough. So, yeah, and with Jameis Winston making the start for the Cleveland Browns against the Baltimore Ravens, that Browns offense that has just been pathetic this year.
Obviously, still a little bit of ways to go before the Saints have to host the Cleveland Browns, but that was one of my wishes this season, that
I think you might get it.
And the Browns would be coming to visit the Saints, so hopefully that stays the course right now and Jameis doesn't lose that gig.
With Deshaun tearing his Achilles, and boy, I am happy I am not doing sports talk radio in Cleveland right now, because it has been a mess, like the players calling out the fans and the fans like fighting back against the players. It's just been a nightmare. It's a 1-6 team, but you might see that now, Steve, where you have Jameis Winston playing against the Saints as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns in a couple weeks. It feels like that's where it's going to go, unless he suffers an injury.
Yeah, that would be a fun matchup for sure, considering he spent a little bit of time here, and obviously a little bit of a controversial ending, I think, to his stay here with the black and gold, doing that victory formation, touchdown, audibling out of just taking a knee.
I saw someone had posted like a like his pregame speech, and it's probably one of the iconic Jameis Winston moments where he's in a huddle trying to lead a team. And I haven't seen it yet, but I'll check it out definitely on the way over.
Seeing here some of the highlights from today's games going on already. Mason Rudolph getting the start for the Tennessee Titans, getting picked off by the Lions. So Detroit takes over in that matchup.
They're one of those, I don't even want to call them sneaky teams, but they're probably going to be in the quarterback conversation in this upcoming draft, the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis, like, he'll flash his arm talent at times, but then he just makes the dumbest boneheaded decisions. It's actually kind of insane. But, you know, that's all the action that's going on right now, Steve. We have this 3 o'clock start time, so we're actually being able to kind of keep an eye on a bunch of games before we get to, you know, obviously the Saints game. Obviously the biggest one for Saints fans is that NFC South showdown between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. The Falcons obviously taking that first game in Atlanta in overtime fashion, right, Steve? That game went to OT, right?
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay suffering two huge injuries at the wide receiver position with Chris Godwin out for the year.
I'm definitely curious to see how that offense rolls now.
And Mike Evans out for at least the next 3 weeks.
Right.
So, yeah, how is that offense going to roll? Is it going to be, you know, Kate Otten, the tight end, McMillan, the rookie receiver out of Washington? Who is Baker Mayfield throwing to? That's my question.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see. Right now, the Falcons up 7-0. And for, you know, us and Saints fans out there, it's a question of who do you really root for in this matchup. Obviously, I think a tie, best case scenario,
yeah, no,
hurts both teams for sure.
Absolutely.
But at this point, do you want the Buccaneers to beat the Falcons?
I think you root for the Bucs because their upcoming schedule is really tough, at least the next couple weeks, where I think they play, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, I think they play like the 49ers pretty soon. They play like the it's the 49ers, I believe the Chiefs as well.
Looking at things here. It's KC. They got to go to Kansas City. They host San Fran.
And that's before
and they have the bye week, right?
So a couple really tough games back-to-back. I think, yeah, you probably root for Tampa Bay in this game.
It's hard to say that. For either team, though.
No, yeah, it's easier to say it for the Bucs, I think.
Yeah,
Buccaneers fans really, really want the Saints to be a rival, but it's just not. It's manufactured. The Falcons are the Saints' rival. They're the only Saints' rival, and it's the biggest Saints' rival. So all the Buccaneers fans that want to talk all this trash, you know how they won the division the last few years. Sorry, we still don't hate you as much as we hate Atlanta. It's just how it is.
Yeah, you look at, obviously, the Saints' schedule after the Chargers. They got an NFC South bout at the Panthers, but then come home to welcome the Atlanta Falcons, then the Cleveland Browns
before
their bye week.
You got to split, as Bobby said, with Atlanta if you want any kind of a chance. So that's probably why I'd say root for the Bucs here. Because if they pick up that win, they have a tough next two games against Kansas City and San Francisco. They probably falter a little bit there. And then you have a chance to kind of get back into things if you start winning games, obviously, with the Falcons coming up pretty soon, too.
Yeah, and you're looking at this Tampa Bay team right now, obviously a huge hit with your top two wide receivers. And We know that all too well here, being Saints fans, having dealt with Olave and Shaheed being down. But no love lost there. No, boo-hoo for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Nope.
I'm curious, though, to see how Baker and the Bucs respond in this one because Godwin and Mike Evans, such a key part to obviously them rolling.
We'll keep an eye on it, as we kind of mentioned. Going back to the Chargers matchup with the Saints, you know, we're talking about the lack of weapons for the Buccaneers without their top two guys. The top two guys for the Chargers offense aren't great. Now, their rushing attack with J.K. Dobbins leading the way. In six games, he has 95 carries for 478 yards, averages 5 yards per carry. He's also, you know, he's just been kind of killing it this year. As far as their top dog, you know, he's kind of been handed the baton. It's just that their offense in general hasn't really gotten much things going because their passing attack hasn't been great. And their top receiver on the year is the rookie Ladd McConkey, who, as you mentioned, Steve, is going to be playing this game. He's got 24 receptions on 39 targets in six games played this year, 265 yards. And that's their top leading receiver, 265 yards in six games. Not great.
You mentioned, obviously, with their injuries, they're dealing with some issues, as was the Saints. Quentin Johnson, doubtful for this game. Darius Davis, also doubtful. Ladd McConkey, questionable. And you look at their tight ends, too. Will Disley and Hayden Hurst, both questionable for this matchup. And two weapons already on injured reserve for them, and a Gus Edwards and a DJ Chark.
So Disley is their second leading receiver, and it feels like not like 30%, 35% of his production came in that one game against the Cardinals. They can't let him get off because you've seen, you know, Dallas Goedert and what he did, and last year TJ Hockenson, and just the inability to defend the tight end. Will Disley is a solid kind of safety blanket weapon, but he's not someone that you should be having to game plan around. But with how the Saints have defended tight ends in the past, it kind of makes you a little bit nervous.
Yeah, looking here just at his heights and weight, 6'4", 265 for Will Disley, because, yeah, for whatever reason, those big boy tight ends seem to be giving the Saints squad some problems.
Yeah, former Seattle Seahawk. And as I mentioned, he really is just kind of a safety blanket for Justin Herbert in the passing attack. And it's a passing attack that just doesn't feature that many weapons. So you feel pretty good about it, but you have to stop J.K. Dobbins in the rushing attack. That's just the biggest key for the Saints defense today.
Yeah, looking at Disley's stats, you mentioned getting most of his yardage this year, 81 yards in that Arizona game. That was a Monday nighter against Arizona. Other than that, though, hasn't been that productive,
right,
and no touchdowns this season. Well, so we don't want to change that either.
Look at the receptions and targets in comparison, right? 8 of his 21 receptions on the season, 11 of his 26 targets on the season came in that Arizona game. See, yes, you probably have to be wary of him, but
sure,
he's also not, you know, a superstar tight end that you have to game plan around, right? So
you mentioning, obviously, we'll stick to it, the tight end position and Taysom Hill being back in the fold, so he gets kind of lumped in with that. But with Foster Moreau and a Juwan Johnson, it would be nice to them to continue to evolve in this offense. I know the early on we weren't seeing much action, but I feel like over the last at least two games, maybe, they've been a little more prevalent in this offense.
Yeah, Rattler's been throwing to him.
Right.
So that's been one of the nice signs of his early career, is that he's utilizing the tight end position. Real quick, Steve, before I hop out of here, I want to actually bring up the stat that Bobby loves to talk about, the turnover margin.
Right. That's always huge for sure.
The Saints got off to such a good start. They're flying high in the turnover differential. Right now they're plus two, which still ranks 10th in the NFL. It's top 10. It's solid.
Right.
But over the last few weeks, it feels like it hasn't necessarily been, you know, a difference maker for this black and gold squad. But for the Chargers, this is one thing that's underrated about them. They take care of the ball. And I think that's kind of a hallmark of Jim Harbaugh teams, right?
Sure.
They don't want to beat themselves. They don't want to turn the ball
Herbert's
over.
Herbert's just got one pick on the year.
Right. They have one pick, and they have one fumble.
Wow.
I think they only have two turnovers all season long, which is impressive. And you know what that leads to? It leads to a plus six turnover differential in six games, which is third in the NFL.
Right.
They don't turn the ball over. They protect it. So, you know, it's a little bit skewed that they don't cause a ton of takeaways necessarily. But for the Saints, they have to figure out how to get the Chargers to turn the ball over the third time this season, the fourth time this season.
Right. The Chargers may be finding their way still, but they're not shooting themselves in the foot like you said.
It's Jim Harbaugh, man. That's just, they don't beat themselves. They're well coached. They play fundamental football, especially on defense. And they just aren't going to give anything to you.
Be interesting to see how the Saints can counter that today and hopefully create more of those takeaways. Pretty unbelievable, Herbert already early on in the goings, and just has one pick on the season so far. Obviously not getting as much of the passing game going this season. Hasn't been as explosive for them with the lack of weapons, but being able to be secure and not, you know, handing over and giving those opportunities away is massive.
An underrated part of that as well, Steve, as far as, you know, Justin Herbert taking care of the ball, is those two bookend tackles that he has in front of him. Rashawn Slater on the left side, a former first-round pick. Jawalt, the rookie, on the right side, first-round pick. And they are so good at keeping him upright, so he doesn't feel the heat off the edges. Now, when we were talking with Matt Smith, the voice of the Chargers, he said, up the middle, that's where you can maybe make some hay, right? The defensive tackles, interior defensive linemen, getting some push up the middle against the guards in the center for the Chargers. But off the edges, Herbert feels comfortable in the pocket, and that's why he hasn't been under duress to make these bad throws that turn into picks. And that's obviously key, is this defensive line finally stepping up, getting some pressure on Herbert, which hasn't happened much this year for the Chargers, and figuring out a way to get him on the ground.
First Take continues here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, brought to you by Bud Light. Drink Bud Light here on Saints game day, gearing up for a 3:05 start. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas on the call from SoFi Stadium. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get into some audio of DeMario Davis, the main linebacker on this squad. Hear what he had to say as this team tries to snap a 5-game skid. We'll be back with more First Take after the break, so stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On WWL. What's going on, Hoodads? Welcome back into a special edition of WWL's First Take that's brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day. Stock up on Bud Light. We are live at the Rouse's Market, 3711 Power Boulevard in Metairie. The countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon coming up at 1 o'clock. He'll be joining me shortly here, and that will lead up to game time in SoFi Stadium. when the Chargers host the Saints. The black and gold trying to snap that five-game skid. I told you we're going to get back into our Saints sound bank and hear from one of the leaders on this squad, and linebacker DeMario Davis. He was asked in the locker room this week about communication with each other, as there's been some issues on this defense struggling to find its way. Here's what DeMario had to say.
What makes a defense great is being a loud defense. So whether it's personnel or whether it's the play call or whether it's checks inside of the defense or it's post-snap communication, a noisy defense is always going to be a great defense. And so that's an area of opportunity for us.
You heard him say they're a noisy defense, and hopefully there's more of that communication on the field, because it just seems to be lacking in a lot of areas. Coming into this season, we had high hopes that the team would be able to lean on the defensive side of the ball as the strength of that team, and that just hasn't been the case the last couple of games, especially tackling the run defense. Well, DeMario was asked, how important is it to fix that run defense?
It's vital. It's vital. I don't think you can play good defense in this football league without being a really good run defense. And so we got to find a way to get that done at all three levels, whether it's alignment, assignment, technique, getting back to the fundamentals. I think the encouraging thing is we played good run defense here for a long time, so we know how to do it. We just got to find our way home.
One thing about DeMario, too, he was asked about, you know, some folks talking about a lack of effort. I think it was Richard Sherman on the Amazon broadcast, Thursday Night Football, saying it looked like this team was trying to get their head coach fired. Well, DeMario disagrees greatly with that, about no effort on this squad. Here's what he said.
I've always been proud of to be a part of this organization, just because whether we're up or we down, we always still show up the same. And we always show up in a way with a mindset to find the opportunity to get better and weather the storm. I think it's reflective of who we are. It's reflective of the city that we play for. That's why I kind of took it personal when it was kind of conversations about the effort. And, you know, that's like questioning personality. That's like questioning character. And as long as I've been here, I've never seen a drop off of effort. If you look at the tape, you're not going to see that. Even on the last snap, you got guys flying to the ball. And so I think that can come. So you can anticipate there's always going to be, you know, different opinions that are out there of why. Because everybody's disappointed. Everybody's disappointed when you're not winning. But that's a good thing. That means you're accustomed to winning. We're not the only team in the league that's in this spot. But what we can control is how we handle being in this spot. And I think it's a great opportunity to search ourselves, find a way to get better. Weather the storm and, you know, learn from the adversity. And looking forward to coming out of it.
The preacher, DeMario Davis, man, someone that talks, you want to listen to what he's saying. Obviously, this team mired in a five-game skid right now. Everybody's looking for answers, and DeMario was asked, how does this squad turn things around right now?
It's always going to be about your mindset. It's going to be about your mindset, your mentality, how you approach each snap, how you approach each play. And I think that's always, as long as I've been here, that's all I've ever seen this organization be. That's all I've ever seen the city be, is resilient. And that's the word that always comes up, and that's what it means. In the face of adversity, we find a way to keep going. And I think that's so needed in life. You know, the difference between success and failure is the person kept going. That's it. And everybody's going to have highs. Everybody's going to have lows. That's part of being a human being. And that's what we got. You know, right now in this game, we're having a low. We got to keep going. We got to figure it out. And that's what I know we're going to put on display for the last 10 weeks is we're going to find a way. It's a lot of football that's still got to be played. And I think there has to be urgency. That's the reality. There has to be urgency to get it fixed, because the football that we're putting out right now doesn't have to be what we put on display for the next 10 weeks. We can change that.
Hopefully the Saints can change that, and it is needed to start today. Five-game losing skid right now for this team after winning their first two has been rough for the black and gold bunch, the players, the coaches, the fans, everybody reeling right now and in need of a major change here in Los Angeles today. We'll see if that can happen with a 3:05 kickoff coming up right here on WWL Saints Radio. Want to remind folks, Seaside Cruises, the New Orleans Saints have partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints Legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. We are taking a break here on First Take from the Rouse's at the Power Boulevard here in Metairie, 3711 Power Boulevard. It's brought to you by Bud Light. Same game day. Stock up on Bud Light, folks. When we get back, check in at SoFi Stadium with our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak. Hear what he has to say. Set the scene for us in L.A. when we get back after this on WWL. Back here on First Take, brought to you by Bud Light. It is Saints game day. Drink Bud Light as we get ready for the black and gold kicking off against the L.A. Chargers out in SoFi Stadium. Checking in with our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, now. Appreciate the time, Jeff. How has L.A. been treating you?
You know, it's been going good. You might hear some bell ringing in the background, and I think they're doing some sort of bell ringing halftime show that they're warming up for. But, you know, it's been nice. I mean, this stadium is always kind of funny because you look around, and it's like, okay, we're inside, kind of. You know, the front, the one end is open, the other end is open. It's kind of unseasonably muggy for L.A. today. So this is the first time I've been in this stadium, and it's been three times in the last 2 years, that I've been very aware that I'm not inside completely. So we'll see if that persists throughout the game. But no, it's always a nice area. It's a nice arena, and looking forward to it.
I was going to say, how far is SoFi, do you know offhand, to Dodger Stadium, where the World Series Game 2 was last night?
That is above my pay grade. I do not know.
Okay.
I didn't know if you got to venture out some. Steve. No, I did not go to Dodger Stadium. I avoided that traffic as much as humanly possible. But it's been exciting. People in this area have been excited. You know, it's not an area where you're always aware that there's like nine sports teams, but definitely some Dodgers fans have been working their way around.
Did you get a chance at least to go to the Lakers game, or that didn't happen either?
No, I did not. I stayed in the hotel, and I did work, just so I could say that on the broadcast of the Boston.
Oh, good studier, getting ready for the game today.
Yes, exactly.
Looking at the matchup, obviously, Jeff, a huge one going into this, the fact that so many of the guys on the Saints injured list are at least getting back into the flow now. The main ones, obviously, Taysom Hill, Chris Olave, Cesar Ruiz. This offense needs that injection, some kind of boost right now. So, obviously, pretty high going into this game, at least, the speculation that the offense could, you know, get some kind of boost or benefit from this. Looking forward to anything that can help end this five-game skid right now.
Yeah, it's a weird dichotomy because when you talk to coaches, you talk to players throughout the year, the first thing you'll hear is, hey, it's a next man up league. You know, we have the people, they're here for a reason. They wouldn't be on the roster if we didn't trust them to play. But on the other hand, there is kind of a critical mass of injuries that makes it almost impossible for you to win. And I think at least part of the explanation over the last 2 weeks, at least in terms of those were two very, very, very ugly games for the Saints, is, yeah, you're down so many players and so many players at key positions that how do you put forward a winning product? It's difficult. And the teams don't want to use that as an excuse, but it is a valid excuse. But that's kind of gone. Now, you still don't have Derek Carr for this game. You still are relying on Spencer Rattler, a rookie quarterback in his third career start. But you at least have the pieces around him that makes you feel like we can get a representative performance. I don't even know how you grade a week where you don't have either starting wide receiver. You don't have three offensive linemen. You don't have Taysom Hill. Like, how do you even gauge that in the frame of, like, okay, is this good quarterback play or bad quarterback play? Is this a rookie getting beat, or is this a rookie who just doesn't have a chance? And so, you know, that's what we're going to learn today, is how much of that is truth and how much of that is, hey, do you not have it? So we'll find out. I think having Cesar Ruiz back in particular is going to be a boost for that offensive line. I think having Taysom Hill back is going to be a boost for the run game. And I think having Chris Olave, for obvious reasons, is going to be a boost to the passing game. And so we'll just have to find out. The Dennis Allen, all the coaches, they talked about there's a lot of energy at practice this week. Having those guys back is kind of a revitalizing factor. You had 10 days off, so rest cannot be an excuse either. You know, the last two games, you could say, hey, we were dealing with a short week. That's not easy for anybody. Well, it's the Chargers this time who are on a short week, with the Saints having 10 days off. So this, you better be a team that comes out with energy today. You better be a team that shows some fight. And you go make a tackle, go win a game. Because, you know, if you can do that, then the tone of this season feels like it starts to turn around. If you can't, then it starts to get real ugly.
For you, when the announcement was made that from Dennis Allen, really early on again, that the team was going to be sticking with Spencer Rattler for this matchup. Obviously, we still have Derek Carr still recovering from the oblique injury. But a lot of folks, I think, felt when we saw Jake Haener come in late in the game on Thursday Night Football, orchestrated that lone touchdown drive for the Saints, that maybe it'd be his time to serve as the starting quarterback for this matchup. But in the end, it is still Spencer Fahia under center for this squad. What was your take on the early announcement and also it being Spencer still?
Yeah, well, I think what Jake did is at least made it a valid question to ask a coach of like, hey, is this something that you consider? And I think you do have to look at what Jake did as kind of inspiring of, hey, what could he potentially do if you do end up having to go to him? But no, I think DA kind of coming out and saying it on Monday was kind of relevant in its own way. If, hey, you could have potentially made that a question and used that to your advantage and forced the Chargers on a short week to scout two guys. Instead, you came out and you just gave, I think, a vote of confidence to your rookie quarterback. And I kind of feel like that's the right way to go. I don't want to have my rookie quarterback feeling like he's walking on eggshells and every time he makes a mistake, he has to look over and make sure the rug's not getting pulled out from under him. You picked him. You said he's going to be our guy until Derek Carr comes back. And you're sticking with him. I do think to a certain extent you have to kind of say, oh, was there a leash in the first two games? It could have gone whatever way you were sticking with him. And in this game, I kind of feel like, hey, if things go really badly in the first half, you have to at least consider, do we make a switch? But no, they're confident in Spencer. I think they feel like, you know, you have two games of tape. That second game, it's hard to say you had any time whatsoever to fix any mistakes, to make any corrections. You kind of just had to flush the game plan for week six and go directly into the game plan for week seven. There wasn't a lot of time for self-scouting or self-reflection or anything like that. So, you know, one thing that hopefully Spencer has been able to do over these last 10 days is go over those first two starts, kind of identify what he did well, what he didn't do well, what he needs to improve on. You know, one thing DA talked about specifically, he's got to be better at identifying when he's hot, when there's a free rusher, when the ball has to come out, you don't have time to sit in the pocket. I think that was a struggle on that first fumble when, you know, he had a free rusher off the right side, he got hit in the back, fumble. And so, you know, those are the type of things that you'd hope, hey, 10 days off, third career start, you get to get a little bit more comfortable, you get more pieces around you, and you can start to look like the quarterback that can be a starter down the line. And we'll find out today, I think.
Unfortunately for the Saints, we know Poulsen Adebo going to miss the rest of the season after breaking his femur. Means, you know, got to step up in the secondary now. Obviously, good news, Marshawn Lattimore with the hamstring issue, not a problem this week. He is good to go. But other than that, who are you expecting to see opposite of Marshawn? Is it going to be Alante?
It's going to be both. I think so. If you go back to last year, how they handled Marshawn's absences, you had Alante in the slot on nickel reps, and then you had him move outside on base reps, and then the dime, you might see some different combinations. But yeah, I think that's how you're going to work today. You're going to have Alante in the slot in nickel reps when you're in base, which means three linebackers. You bump him outside, and in the nickel reps, you will have Kool-Aid McKinstry playing on the outside. You know, he's a player that this team was high on. He's confident. It's fortunate that he was able to get that time in week two when Marshawn was out. He started on the outside at corner and he played pretty well. Obviously, the defense played really well in that Cowboys game. So this team feels like he can get the job done and he's got to go out there and show it. You know, we talked to him this week and, you know, he's as bummed as anyone to see Paulson go down, right? Like, that's a difficult thing to deal with. But, you know, you kind of have to view it as an opportunity for a young player to step in and prove that why you took him in the second round of the draft, why you are constantly picking, you know, building on a strength with, you know, you took Alante Taylor in the second round when there wasn't a clear path for him to play. And he's obviously a massive part of this defense. Now you did the same thing with Kool-Aid. And you see why every year cornerbacks get hurt and you need someone to be able to step in there. Rico Payton, I thought, did a solid job when he went in. So he'll be kind of he'll step up into a more significant role, kind of what Kool-Aid had been doing. And, you know, he's another guy who got some run because of injuries. And so if you end up having to go to him, I think you'll feel good too. So, you know, we'll see. This isn't a Chargers wide receiver room that scares you. I think Ladd McConkey is going to play. Quentin Johnson was doubtful. I would be surprised if he plays. And then you're talking about a lot of guys that don't frighten you much, right? So you got to be able to hold up because they're going to try to run the ball down your throat. You can't devote extra resources on the outside. You've got to be able to hold up. And so that's going to be a big part of today, I think.
When you're talking about also Kool-Aid McKinstry, I know you guys in the locker room today got a chance to you know, getting some words with him, and you asked him about, you know, playing at a school like Alabama. He's not used to these 5-game losing skids.
No, yeah, that's a lot of these young players aren't used to losing. You know, you go to the NFL because, you know, you not only had individual success, but a lot of times you run a team that had a lot of success. So it is something that I think is an adjustment for a guy who, yeah, like you said, did not lose a lot of games at Alabama. He kind of said, hey, yeah, it's difficult, right? But you do have to kind of compartmentalize and say, yeah, we need to learn from what went wrong in those games, but we can't allow those losses to create more losses. You kind of just got to move forward and win the games in front of you. And that's kind of been the messaging for this team, I think. Like, you can't change the 5-game losing streak. You can't go there and add a couple more wins in games that you feel like you should have won. But you do have to bounce back. You can't let it continue to spiral. And I think he has a good approach, and he's kind of leaning on the veterans to help him do that.
Look at the big X factors in this matchup. I think, obviously, we always mention the turnover margin being a huge thing. But when it comes to maybe a player or maybe, you know, a certain side of the ball, whether it's the offense, defense, pass rush, I'm asking you here, though, your biggest X factor in this game, the Saints will snap that five-game skid if they can or if whoever can do what?
Yeah, well, you know, one obvious one is, hey, don't let the Chargers defense score. You know, this Chargers offense has not scored a touchdown in 15 drives, but the Saints have allowed their opponents to score without their offense on the field three of the last four games. You're not going to win a lot when you do that. So you got to stop that. But I think it, more so it's, hey, you're getting Pete Warner back. And one thing Joe Woods talked about was communication, and Pete Warner is a big part of that communication. He even said, you know, it's like getting Batman and Robin back. I think he said that before, but that's kind of his nickname for DeMario and Pete. And, you know, he did mention that there are times, you know, you watch film and you might not know exactly what you're looking at, but the coaching staff does, the team does, and they know when the defense is not being communicated or not being run correctly. And there were a handful of examples in that Broncos game alone where, you know, you can call the perfect defense. If it's not run the way you're intending it to run, then it's not going to work. And I think that's been happening a little too much for this team's comfort, and they're hoping to get that better. But no, I mean, I think it just in general, you gotta have some fight, and you gotta slow down this run game. If you can slow down J.K. Dobbins, if you can keep him from, you know, breaking the game open, I feel good about it. This is a Chargers team that runs the ball a ton. They stay committed to the run. Joe Woods kind of described it as like old school Big Ten football, where you're just going to pound the ball, try to hit you over the top of the play action, rinse, repeat. And, you know, that's what the Saints have got to stop. But as committed to this, to the run game as this Chargers team is, I think they come in as the 19th rated rushing attack, and the Saints are right there with them, even with the struggles of the last few weeks. So, you know, this team, if you can stop the run, I think you can beat this Chargers team, you know, going away. You just got to put points up. And it's a good defense. Chargers have a good defense. They have a top 10 defense. So that's going to be it. But you got to keep points off the board. That's the big key.
Jeff, looking at this game too, have you done anything leading up to this matchup different in your routine, trying to shake things up, or nah, you don't believe in all that?
I mean, I did have some sage. I brought some sage in the room. No, I don't do that sort of thing. I have a couple pairs of socks that I've taken out of the rotation. That's about as much as I'll do. My wife gave me a pair of Saints socks that I wore during the Eagles game, and I wore them during the Falcons game. And he's like, you know what? I think I'm going to cut these out of the rotation. But it didn't work. Things only got worse. Maybe I need to bring them back in. I don't know. But no, I know the teams and players can be pretty superstitious about that stuff. So I'd hope that there's some things that they have wiped out of their rotation that weren't working over the past 5 weeks.
Appreciate your time, man. You have a great call, and be coming home on that flight with a victory. Please be talking to you soon on the Inside Black and Gold podcast, my man.
Sounds good. Appreciate y'all.
Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, our man on the scene there in L.A., getting ready for that 3:05 start right here on WWL Saints Radio. We are live at the Rouse's Market, Power Boulevard. You can stop by, say hey, stock up for game day or the rest of the week, do some grocery shopping, or if you're having a Taylor Swift party, this is the place to be as well. They've got party cakes with Tay-Tay on the front. Also, cupcakes surrounding it. Pretty cool deal. About to have another one with the funfetti all over the cupcake. Want you to stop by and say hey right here on WWL. We'll be back after the break with more as we close out things and get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff right here on WWL. Back here on First Take, we are at the Rouse's Market, 3711 Power Boulevard, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day stock up on Bud Light. We're closing things down here on First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up with the Cajun Cannon, 1 o'clock. Want to remind everybody, too, as well, that Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving catch this season to the Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations right now, folks, $14,590. So thank you, Venture Global, for that. Looking at this matchup, a big one's going to be the development. How can Spencer Rattler do? Game three for him heading into this game. Rookie's got some weapons back on this offense, which is a nice positive for him. But he was asked in the locker room this week, getting ready for this matchup, where does he need to be better in his third start right here against the Chargers?
I would say don't make a bad play worse. You know what I mean? Don't try to be a superhero and try to make that big play. Just take us to the next down when it's needed. You know, I think you feel much better if you take out two plays from each game, you know, coming out of it. So it's a simple fix, and it'll get done.
The fumbles have been an issue for Rattler. Also has one interception on the season right now. He was asked about how can he improve that pocket presence when he is under pressure from the defense.
Just having to do what you got to do. You never know what it's going to be each game, so preparing for anything. You know, you're going to have to, it's never going to be clean all the time. So being able to create, being able to get the ball out on time, that helps.
Looking at Rattler's stats, first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, folks, he went 22 of 40, 243 yards passing, had that touchdown with two interceptions as well, had 27 yards rushing, and then that game Thursday night against the Denver Broncos, went 25 of 35 passing, just 172 yards there, was sacked six times in that game, too, was a huge problem, also rushing for 34 yards, so it'll be interesting to see. Game three, Spencer Rattler, the fifth-round pick, rookie development. How will he handle things? How will he, you know, react when the pressure is on the road here? Because he's had those last two matchups, which came at home. So it'll be a lot to see for this black and gold squad looking to snap that five-game skid. And I think having maybe a Taysom Hill back there with you will help because that QB power will take a little pressure off of the Rattler because looking and definitely anxious to see how much he can mature in that short amount of time, but the offensive line being a big factor there as well. Wrapping up First Take right now. Coming up, countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, folks. So stay tuned right here. First Take is a wrap. I was brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Who dat, and be right back with more right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.